grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, the gospel lesson, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And so the question comes to congregation after congregation, to seminary class after seminary class. Remember sitting there in class and having the question posed, and it goes like this: so what should we do as a congregation? Should we set our eyes on God and on growing closer to God? Or should we be in mission, reaching out with the gospel? And we'll let that hang there for a while. And Jesus looked out over the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And there's a whole lost world out there, isn't there? Those who do not know whether there is a God or how to find God or how to approach God. Those who do not even know that there is a right and a wrong. And confusion abounds. And if you dispute it, well, I tell you, just turn on your television. And it's a mess. And what makes it worse is when you figure out it's not only all the people out there. Lost sheep. Yep. Lost sheep, that's us. And in our lives, how many times have we been unable to figure out what is the will of God? What would he want me to do in this situation? What is the right thing to do? And one more time, to make it worse, even when we know the right thing, do we do it? And Jesus looked out over the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And what did he say to his disciples? Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. And then comes chapter 10. And he gathers his disciples and sends them out, and that sort of sets a pattern for us to notice. Pattern reflected in the title of the sermon, "The Closer He Calls, the Farther He Sends." Which was entertaining, because last evening's service we had two people that we sent far away. Down to Albuquerque to attend the Lutheran Women's Missionary League National Convention, where it's 125 degrees. Ouch. The closer he calls, the farther he sends. Moses learned something about that, didn't he? Because Moses had his encounter with God, and it was a very close encounter with God there on the mountain of the Lord, and it involved a burning bush and the name of God, "I am that I am," and the words, "Take off the sandals from your feet, for the ground on which you are standing is holy ground." And Moses, having had that encounter with God, then God sent him. Sent him into Egypt, sent him to Pharaoh, sent him on a journey through the wilderness for 40 years. Moses learned this lesson. Before him, Abraham learned the lesson. God called to Abraham, and God said to Abraham, "Leave your father's house and go far away to a land that I will show you." God called Abraham close, and then God sent Abraham far away. And Jesus fits the pattern. Because Jesus is, well, he is the ultimate in faithfulness and prayer and worship and devotion to his Father. And what does God say to him? You read it back in the book of Isaiah. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to bring back the lost ones of Israel. I will make you to be a light for the Gentiles that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And so it is with the disciples. Jesus calls them close with the words, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pause for dramatic. That's direction. And the reason I put that in there is because there's this gap between chapters 9 and 10. And what I wanted really to say that the text for the sermon is the gap between the two chapters. But then you'd be wondering about me, wouldn't you? So, the gap between the chapters. Chapter 9, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pause. He calls his disciples to him and sends them out into the harvest. What happens in the gap? Is it the prayer? Lord of the harvest, send laborers into the harvest. Have we been praying for the harvest? Oh, well then. I explain it to confirmation classes like this. It's when prayer bounces. That gets their attention when you say, when prayer bounces, right? And you say to God, Lord, send out laborers. And God says, absolutely a wonderful prayer. I agree. I'm going to send you. Prayer can be dangerous that way. As they've been saying for generations, prayer can be dangerous that way. Thy kingdom come. Yes, excellent prayer. Okay. Go to. Well, Jonah. Thy kingdom come. Oh, yes. Go to Nineveh. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. And the disciples pray. And now they're sent. And the reason why this is important is because it is not just the 12, is it? Not just the greater number, the 70 that he sent out later. Not just the 120 on the day of Pentecost. Not just the 3,000 that came in on that day. It's the whole church. What God has in mind is that every single one of us who carries within our souls, within our hearts, words of eternal life, a message that changes the eternal destiny of a soul, that we carrying that message are sent out into the world. We got about 3 points under that. First, so I remember many years ago. Here we go. Many years ago, when I was growing up, my father was one that took no excuses for missing church. Yeah, Sunday morning, you know where your place was. That was his mindset. There was one Sunday I decided I was going to make an excuse because I just didn't want to go to church that day. And I got a look. And the look was the father looking his son in the eye and saying, you dealing with me as a man? Are you telling me the truth? That was in the look. He didn't say anything, but I never tried it after that. Because for him, no matter what, the place you belong at on Sunday morning, that is with God. Period. And again, many years ago, it happened during a youth group retreat during a service of communion. An overwhelming awareness of the presence of Jesus Christ among us and in the body and in the blood and in the bread and in the wine. And from that moment, there was no other option in my life than to be a pastor, period. He calls close, and then he sends. And so it is. The disciples get sent. They get sent because they get called close. They get sent because what happens when you pray for laborers in the harvest? And the third point on this is that God will send us, and he will send us to carry his message and to extend his kingdom, but there are times you don't understand how exactly that is happening. In fact, there are times when you don't even see how it happens. But that is how Jesus is. That is how he works. Through that word. And where the word of God is, there comes the kingdom. And so we are sent. But back to Moses. Exodus 19. There he is, after coming out of Egypt. Oh, and by the way, how'd they get out of Egypt? Well, it was through the blood of the Lamb. Who's that talking about? They marked their doorposts and lintels with the sign of the blood of the Lamb. Who's that talking about? They ate the Passover lamb, the promised Lamb of God. Who's that talking about? It's all about Jesus, time after time after time again. All about Jesus, this Lamb of God who brings us to the promised land. And they go out of Egypt and they pass through the waters of the Red Sea, down in and back up, dying and rising. A picture of when we go through the waters, and we call that baptism, and we say we are dying and rising with, who is that? Dying and rising with Jesus. And we come into new life. And then we are to walk with God through the rest of this life with the promised land ahead of us, with the destiny of all of God's blessings ahead of us. And that's in Jesus. And all of it keeps on revolving around him. So Moses is there on the mountain of God, having gotten back there. And the message God has for the people of Israel in verse 5 is, then you shall be to me segula among all the nations. What? He's talking Hebrew now. Then you shall be to me segula. I had a professor in seminary who shared this with us. The word means treasured possession. It also means heirloom. Like that dresser that belonged to your great-grandmother. And it's not in so good shape anymore. You have to every so often repair it, and there's scratches and dings and everything else in it, but you're not getting rid of it because every time you look at it, You have that family in your memory. Or the tool in your tool chest that belonged to your father. There are many others like it. I could get a new one. It'd be in better condition, but no, this was my dad's. It's an inheritance. It's part of the whole idea in that word. How's this word? God says, you will be my inheritance. Okay, first of all, when Jesus says, pray the Lord of the harvest, who's he talking about? He's talking about his Father. His Father who desires for all to come to salvation. His Father who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's who he's talking about. And when Moses hears from God that the people of Israel are to be a treasured inheritance, how can God inherit? Who does God inherit from? And then as that professor continued to unwrap the word and reveal to us what was hidden in there, it is God the Father looking at you and saying, these are my people, and where did I get them? I got them from my Son. How's that an inheritance? An inheritance has to involve a death, doesn't it? And now the circle is closed. God the Father looks at us and says, these are mine. These are the people won for me by my Son Jesus. My Son Jesus took them on himself. My Son Jesus took their sins on himself and became the Lamb of God and shed his blood to mark them and died for them. And through my Son's death, he has given this people to me. And every time I look at them, what do I see? I see my Son Jesus with his perfect obedience and his love for them. My Son Jesus, behold my servant. Has there ever been one like him? Behold my Son, my only Son whom I love. And God the Father looks at us and sees us in that way. And when he looks at us and sees us in that way, how long is he going to keep us? Forever. And once again, to the theme of the closer God calls, the farther he sends. Because there's a reason why it has to be in that way. It's like Abraham there at the mountain of God. And what's Abraham doing? He's acting out the part of God the Father. He's going up the mountain with his Son, his only Son whom he loves, there to act out a sacrifice that he wouldn't do, but that God the Father would do with his Son. And Abraham's going there, why? So he can learn what is in the heart of God. That's why God calls close in order to send far away. He calls close so that we may know the heart of the Father. And in knowing the heart of the Father, the heart of the Father instructs and teaches us to learn how God sees us and how God sees our neighbor. That is the lesson. And that's why Jesus says, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest, because in that praying earnestly, the disciples will learn the heart of the Father that must send. And why must he send? And you can join me in it this time. Why must he send? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen.